Chapter 6. Against us, we were 2 days more before we reached the shore, having all that, while excessive hot weather, and not a drop of water or any other liquor, except some cordial waters, which one of our company had a little of left in a case of bottles. This gave us a taste of what we should have done if we had ventured forward with a scant wind and uncertain weather, and gave us a surfeit of our design for the main, at least until we might have some better vessels under us. So we went on shore again, and pitched our camp as before, in as convenient manner as we could, fortifying ourselves against any surprise. But the natives here were exceeding courteous, and much more civil than on the south part of the island, and though we could not understand what they said, or they us, yet we found means to make them understand that we were seafaring men and strangers, and that we were in distress for want of provisions. The first proof we had of their kindness was, that as soon as they saw us come on shore, and begin to make our habitation, one of their captains or kings, for we knew not what to call them, came down with 5 or 6 men and some women, and brought us 5 goats and 2 young fat steers, and gave them to us for nothing. And when we went to offer them anything, the captain or the king would not let any of them touch it, or take anything of us. About 2 hours after came another king, or captain, with 40 or 50 men after him. We began to be afraid of him, and laid hands upon our weapons, but he perceiving it, caused 2 men to go before him, carrying 2 long poles in their hands, which they held upright, as high as they could, which we presently perceived, was a signal of peace, and these 2 poles they set up afterwards, sticking them up in the ground. And when the king and his men came to these 2 poles, they struck all their lances up in the ground, and came on unarmed, leaving their lances, as also their bows and arrows, behind them. This was to satisfy us, that they were come as friends, and we were glad to see it, for we had no mind to quarrel with them, if we could help it. The captain of this gang seeing some of our men making up their huts, and that they did it but bunglingly, he beckoned to some of his men, to go and help us. Immediately 15 or 16 of them came and mingled among us, and went to work for us. And indeed, they were better workmen than we were, for they run up 3 or 4 huts for us in a moment, and much handsomer done than ours. After this they sent us milk, plantains, pumpkins, and abundance of roots and greens, that were very good, and then took their leave, and would not take anything from us that we had. One of our men offered the king or captain of these men a dram, which he drank, and was mightily pleased with it, and held out his hand for another, which we gave him, and in a word, after this, he hardly failed coming to us 2 or 3 times a week, always bringing us something or other, and one time sent us 7 head of black cattle, some of which we cured and dried as before. And here I cannot but remember one thing, which afterwards stood us in great stead, viz., that the flesh of their goats, and their beef also, but especially the former, when we had dried and cured it, looked red, and ate hard and firm, as dried beef in Holland. They were so pleased with it, and it was such a dainty to them, that at any time, after they would trade with us for it, not knowing, or so much as imagining what it was, so that for 10 or 12 pounds weight of smoked dried beef, they would give us a whole bullock, or cow, or anything else we could desire. Here we observed 2 things, that were very material to us, even essentially so. First, we found they had a great deal of earthenware here, which they made use of many ways as we did. Particularly they had long, deep earthen pots, which they used to sink into the ground, to keep the water which they drunk cool and pleasant. And the other was, that they had larger canoes than their neighbors had. By this we were prompted to inquire if they had no larger vessels than those we saw there, or if any other of the inhabitants had not such. They signified presently, that they had no larger boats than, that they showed us, but that on the other side of the island they had larger boats, and that with decks upon them, and large sails, and this made us resolve to coast round the whole island to see them, So we prepared and victualled our canoe for the voyage, and, in a word, went to sea for the third time. It cost us a month or 6 weeks' time to perform this voyage, in which time we went on shore several times for water and provisions, and found the natives always very free and courteous. But we were surprised one morning early, being at the extremity of the northernmost part of the island, when one of our men cried out, "A sail! A sail!" We presently saw a vessel a great way out at sea. But after we had looked at it with our perspective glasses, and endeavored all we could to make out what it was, we could not tell what to think of it, for it was neither ship, ketch, galley, galliot, or like anything that we had ever seen before. All that we could make of it was, that it went from us, standing out to sea. In a word, we soon lost sight of it, for we were in no condition to chase anything, and we never saw it again. But, by all that we could perceive of it, from what we saw of such things afterwards, it was some Arabian vessel, which had been trading to the coast of Mozambique, or Zanzibar, the same place where we afterwards went, as you shall hear. I kept no journal of this voyage, nor indeed did I all this, while understand anything of navigation, more than the common business of a foremast man. So I can say nothing to the latitudes, or distances of any places we were at, how long we were going, or how far we sailed in a day. But this I remember, that being now come round the island, we sailed up the eastern shore due south, as we had done down the western shore due north before. Nor do I remember that the natives differed much from one another, either in stature or complexion, or in their manners, their habits, their weapons, or indeed in anything, and yet we could not perceive that they had any intelligence one with another, but they were extremely kind and civil to us on this side, as well as on the other. We continued our voyage south for many weeks, though with several intervals of going on shore, to get provisions and water. At length, coming round a point of land which lay about a league further than ordinary into the sea, we were agreeably surprised with a sight which, no doubt, had been as disagreeable to those concerned, as it was pleasant to us. This was the wreck of an European ship, which had been cast away upon the rocks, which in that place run a great way into the sea. We could see plainly, at low water, a great deal of the ship lay dry. Even at high water, she was not entirely covered, and that at most she did not lie above a league from the shore. It will easily be believed that our curiosity led us, the wind and weather also permitting, to go directly to her, which we did without any difficulty, and presently found that it was a Dutch-built ship, and that she could not have been very long in that condition, a great deal of the upper work of her stern remaining firm, with the mizzen mast standing. Her stern seemed to be jammed in between two ridges of the rock, and so remained fast, all the fore part of the ship having been beaten to pieces. We could see nothing to be gotten out of the wreck that was worth our while, but we resolved to go on shore, and stay some time thereabouts, to see if perhaps we might get any light into the story of her, and we were not without hopes that we might hear something more particular about her men, and perhaps find some of them on shore there, in the same condition that we were in, and so might increase our company. It was a very pleasant sight to us when, coming on shore, we saw all the marks and tokens of a ship carpenter's yard, as a launch block and cradles, scaffolds, and planks, and pieces of planks, the remains of the building a ship or vessel, and, in a word, a great many things that fairly invited us to go about the same work, and we soon came to understand that the men belonging to the ship that was lost had saved themselves on shore, perhaps in their boat, and had built themselves a bark or sloop, and so were gone to sea again. And, inquiring of the natives which way they went, they pointed to the south and southwest, by which we could easily understand they were gone away to the Cape of Good Hope. Nobody will imagine we could be so dull as not to gather from hence that we might take the same method for our escape. So we resolved first, in general, that we would try, if possible, to build us a boat of one kind or other, and go to sea as our fate should direct. In order to this, our first work was to have the two carpenters search about to see what materials the Dutchman had left behind them that might be of use. And, in particular, they found one that was very useful, and which I was much employed about, and that was a pitch kettle, and a little pitch in it. When we came to set close to this work, we found it very laborious and difficult, having but few tools, no ironwork, no cordage, no sails. So that, in short, whatever we built, we were obliged to be our own smiths, rope makers, sail makers, and indeed to practice 20 trades that we knew little or nothing of. However, necessity was the spur to invention, and we did many things which, before we thought impracticable, that is to say, in our circumstances. After our two carpenters had resolved upon the dimensions of what they would build, they set us all to work, to go off in our boats and split up the wreck of the old ship, and to bring away everything we could, and particularly that, if possible, we should bring away the mizzen mast, which was left standing, which with much difficulty we effected, after above 20 days' labor of 14 of our men. At the same time we got out a great deal of ironwork, as bolts, spikes, nails, and see all of which our artist, of whom I have spoken already, who was now grown a very dexterous smith, made us nails and hinges for our rudder, and spikes such as we wanted. But we wanted an anchor, and if we had had an anchor, we could not have made a cable. So we contented ourselves with making some ropes with the help of the natives, of such stuff as they made their mats of, and with these we made such a kind of cable or tow line as was sufficient to fasten our vessel to the shore, which we contented ourselves with for that time. To be short, we spent 4 months here, and worked very hard too, at the end of which time we launched our frigate, which, in a few words, had many defects, but yet, all things considered, it was as well as we could expect it to be. In short, it was a kind of sloop, of the burthen of near 18 or 20 tons, and had we had masts and sails, standing and running rigging, as is usual in such cases, and other conveniences, the vessel might have carried us wherever we could have had a mind to go. But of all the materials we wanted, this was the worst, viz. That we had no tar or pitch to pay the seams and secure the bottom, and though we did what we could, with tallow and oil, to make a mixture to supply that part, yet we could not bring it to answer our end fully, and when we launched her into the water, she was so leaky, and took in the water so fast, that we thought all our labor had been lost, for we had much ado to make her swim. And as for pumps, we had none, nor had we any means to make one. But at length one of the natives, a black negro man, showed us a tree, the wood of which being put into the fire, sends forth a liquid, that is as glutinous and almost as strong as tar, and of which, by boiling, we made a sort of stuff which served us for pitch, and this answered our end effectually. For we perfectly made our vessel sound and tight, so that we wanted no pitch or tar at all. This secret has stood me instead upon many occasions since that time in the same place. Our vessel being thus finished, out of the mizzen mast of the ship we made a very good mast to her, and fitted our sails to it as well as we could. Then we made a rudder and tiller, and, in a word, everything that our present necessity called upon us for. And having victualled her, and put as much fresh water on board as we thought we wanted, or as we knew how to stow, for we were yet without casks, we put to sea with a fair wind. We had spent near another year in these rambles, and in this piece of work, for it was now, as our men said, about the beginning of our February, and the sun went from us apace, which was much to our satisfaction, for the heats were exceedingly violent. The wind, as I said, was fair, for, as I have since learned, the winds generally spring up to the eastward, as the sun goes from them to the north. Our debate now was, which way we should go, and never were men so irresolute. Some were for going to the east, and stretching away directly for the coast of Malabar, But others, who considered more seriously the length of that voyage, shook their heads at the proposal, knowing very well that neither our provisions, especially of water, or our vessel, were equal to such a run as that is, of near 2,000 miles without any land, to touch at in the way. These men too, had all along had a great mind to a voyage for the mainland of Africa, where they said we should have a fair cast for our lives, and might be sure to make ourselves rich, which way soever we went, if we were but able to make our way through, whether by sea or by land. Besides, as the case stood with us, we had not much choice for our way, for, if we had resolved for the east, we were at the wrong season of the year, and must have stayed till April or May, before we had gone to sea. At length, as we had the wind at S.E. and E.S.E., and fine promising weather, we came all into the first proposal, and resolved for the coast of Africa. Nor were we long in disputing, as to our coasting the island which we were upon, for we were now upon the wrong side of the island for the voyage we intended. So we stood away to the north, and, having rounded the cape, we hauled away southward, under the lee of the island, thinking to reach the west point of land, which, as I observed before, runs out so far towards the coast of Africa, as would have shortened our run almost 100 leagues. But when we had sailed about 30 leagues, we found the winds variable under the shore, and right against us, so we concluded to stand over directly, for then we had the wind fair, and our vessel was but very ill-fated to lie near the wind, or any way indeed, but just before it. Having resolved upon it, therefore, we put into the shore, to furnish ourselves again with fresh water and other provisions, and about the latter end of March, with more courage than discretion, more resolution than judgment, we launched for the main coast of Africa. As for me, I had no anxieties about it, so that we had but a view of reaching some land or other, I cared not what or where it was to be, having at this time no views of what was before me, nor much thought of what might or might not befall me. But with as little consideration as any one can be supposed to have at my age, I consented to everything that was proposed, however hazardous the thing itself, however improbable the success. The voyage, as it was undertaken with a great deal of ignorance and desperation, so really it was not carried on with much resolution or judgment. For we knew, no more of the course we were to steer than this, that it was anywhere about the west, within 2 or 3 points N or S, and as we had no compass with us, but a little brass pocket compass, which one of our men, had more by accident than otherwise, so we could not be very exact in our course. However, as it pleased God, that the wind continued fair at SE and by E, we found that NW by W, which was right afore it, was as good a course for us as any we could go, and thus we went on. The voyage was much longer than we expected. Our vessel also, which had no sail, that was proportioned to her, made but very little way in the sea, and sailed heavily. We had, indeed, no great adventures happened in this voyage, being out of the way of everything that could offer to divert us. And as for seeing any vessel, we had not the least occasion to hail anything in all the voyage, for we saw not one vessel, small or great, the sea we were upon being entirely out of the way of all commerce. For the people of Madagascar knew no more of the shores of Africa than we did, only that there was a country of lions, as they call it, that way. We had been 8 or 9 days under sail, with a fair wind, when, to our great joy, one of our men cried out, "Land!" We had great reason to be glad of the discovery, for we had not water enough left for above 2 or 3 days more, though at a short allowance. However, though it was early in the morning when we discovered it, we made it near night, before we reached it, the wind slackening almost to a calm, and our ship being, as I said, a very dull sailer. We were sadly balked upon our coming to the land, when we found that, instead of the mainland of Africa, it was only a little island, with no inhabitants upon it, at least none, that we could find. Nor any cattle, except a few goats, of which we killed 3 only. However, they served us for fresh meat, and we found very good water, and it was 15 days more before we reached the main, which, however, at last we arrived at, and which was most essential to us, as we came to it just as all our provisions were spent. Indeed, we may say they were spent first, for we had but a pint of water a day to each man for the last 2 days. But, to our great joy, we saw the land, though at a great distance, the evening before, and by a pleasant gale in the night were by morning within 2 leagues of the shore. We never scrupled going ashore at the first place we came at, though, at Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.